Thank you for that. Did we pass out the lessons? We have those on the patio and everywhere. We're doing a series this summer. We're going to look at discipleship for a few weeks. We'll get back to Proverbs after the summer is over, but we want to look at discipleship for a few weeks. Look at your bulletin there. We'll read a few verses in your bulletin and we'll get started. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 to 33. Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father," so, well, that's hard, "and mother," that's harder, "and wife," not a problem, "and children," for sure, just kidding, "and brethren and sisters," yea, "and his own life, cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else why the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless us this evening. Bless our time together. I pray you'd help us as we kind of lay a foundation for discipleship tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think if you look on your sheet there, by way of introduction, there are two big things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Christian life, but there's two big things we need to grasp. The first blank there is what we call discipleship. What is discipleship? It's who I am supposed to be as a Christian who follows Christ. That's discipleship. A discipled follower of Jesus Christ. The next little bullet there, this is the what of everything I do. Okay? Everything I do is because I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm supposed to be a disciple of Christ. And then the second aspect, which goes with it, is what we call stewardship. We'll talk a little bit about that next month. Stewardship is who he is in relation to everything in my life, speaking of Christ. This is the why of everything I do. Everything I do is because I'm a steward of everything that God has given me. We're going to go through not the steps verbatim, but we're going to talk about some things related to discipleship in our church. But tonight we just want to talk about a little bit about what does discipleship really means. In the Gospels, we notice that everywhere Jesus went, crowds just seemed to follow him. They came. There's many reasons. Some people heard about his miracles and they admired the miracles that he did. Others were drawn to him because of his ability to heal those who are sick. Some were interested in his teaching. They heard about what he was talking about, and it's like, I want to find out what this is. Some just wanted to find out what the excitement is all about. I mean, they're hearing about this guy, and they may not understand all this stuff, but it's like, I got to check this out and see who this man is. But not all who followed Christ were truly his disciples. Many were just curious, but not really committed. Many delighted to see his power, but they were not really devoted to him personally. And let me say this about Jesus. Jesus was not enamored by the crowds. Now, there's nothing wrong with crowds as long as the crowds are disciples and love God. But Jesus did not get enamored with all of the crowds. He wasn't interested in just being followed because of curiosity. Remember, there was a crowd that came to him after he fed the 5,000, and they came because they were fed and they heard about this guy that's feeding them. He wasn't really interested in that. He wanted true disciples. Perhaps one of the most penetrating questions in the Bible is found in John 6. Jesus had just fed over 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish, and this crowd came to him and started asking him some questions, and he was straightforward. Okay, he just told them like it was. Hey, this is what's going on here. They didn't like it. Look at John 6 there. By the way, he told them who he was. I'm God in the flesh, and they couldn't deal with that. Look at John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They had a hard time with what he was saying. They said, we're out of here. And then look what they say. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? You can just see. Here's this big crowd following him, and he starts telling them the truth. Most of them, they liked the miracle. They liked all that stuff. But when it got push came to shove, they didn't want it. And so he's straightforward with them, and they leave. And then he looks at his 12 guys and says, you guys leaving too? You going to go? You going to stick it out? That's what he's basically telling them. And they did stick it out. In our society, we're very confused about what it means to really follow Christ and be his disciple. There's a phrase I don't like. I'm not going to shoot anybody over it, but, you know, we're Christ followers. We'll see. Christ followers, it's not something you say. It's something you do. Few want to be Christ imitators. I'll follow him from a distance. But if push comes to shove and I have to be like him, that ain't happening. The Bible tells us we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, I'll be honest with you. Will we ever be like Jesus? Absolutely not. But you know what our goal is? Our goal is to learn about Christ and try to live the way he did and to be like him. Will we ever be like Jesus? Nope. I'll never be like Jesus because I ain't eating fish. Okay? And I'm not walking on water. But I'll say this, we ought to strive to get as close to him as we can. Amen. That's the goal. There's a difference between a crowd and true disciples. God is not looking for churchians. I'm a churchian. I go to church. No, no. He wants people that are disciples. Many Christians eventually will find easier to find fault with the church or a Christian or some practice in the church and use that as an out to leave what they're doing. And sometimes I'll be honest with you, sometimes there might be something that someone did to offend somebody, and that's legitimate for Christians. We ought to always try to make that right. But some people, the real root of the problem is they really don't want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus made the requirements tough. Tough. He didn't lower them. By the way, our society, we don't like anything tough. Pass the kids to the next grade. Lower the standards so everybody passes and goes to the next grade. And then we have children graduating from school that can't even read. I'm not saying we ought to push them down. I mean, there ought to be something to help them. But it's like, are we helping someone just to push them through and ignore that they're struggling? No. I don't like T-ball. They don't keep score. Everybody gets a trophy. Nope. Nope. Don't like that. I coached all of our teams, girls' teams, guys' teams, all the different volleyball, all the teams we had. Different sports. I love to win. I'm going to say hate, but I'm not going to say hate. I didn't like losing. We're reminiscing with somebody. I made all the girls cry when they didn't do well in volleyball. I didn't mean to. I just didn't realize they weren't like the guys, you know. But listen, if they did our best, and after we were done, we were done. We didn't get the trophy. I thought we should have. But it's like, it's over with. But we ought to strive for excellence, should we not? Yep. So Jesus is like, listen, all you got to do is look at the bottom. He said, if you don't do these things, ye cannot be my disciple. We just tell someone if they come to church and if they accept Christ, you're a disciple now. Not necessarily. Disciples have requirements to go through. Jesus wants people that are committed, which is a problem in our day because people don't like commitment. Come just as you are. That's true for salvation. Amen? Sometimes you invite someone to church and they think, oh, you got to be all dressed up to come to church. I can't come. I don't have church. Just come. Just come. We want you here. But a person that comes to church and never changes, there's a problem with that. We'll come just as we are, but as we grow in our faith and we become a disciple, we ought to conform to who he is. So if we're to be a true disciple, and some of us, you're on that road, or we want to help others, then what do we have to do? Look at some of the points here. Look at number one. A disciple must love. We must love. We must love Jesus above anything else. Now, we joked about it earlier. Jesus doesn't want you to hate your mom and dad. Do you know one thing that'll help us out sometimes? And I've heard all kinds of guys, and allegedly they're supposed to be whatever, but you know, they go off on some tangent on one little verse, not realizing the whole Bible fits together. And by the way, when you just pull one thing out and go haywire on it, you're heading towards, you know, heard someone say the other day, I hate that person. I hope they die and go to hell. I don't know what Bible that's from. It's not from the Bible I have. The Bible works together. The point Jesus was making is we ought to love him so much in comparison, it's like hate. He ought to be so supreme in our life. Did he not tell us that when he said, you know, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Look at letter A. This love is illustrated by comparison. We just said that. That's what the word is hate is used for. It's used for comparison. Why? Deuteronomy 6:5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. What is the repeated word? All. All. He wants us to love him supremely. By the way, all the other things that happen, if we love, it'll be okay. We'll be able to take those things. Okay? If you're in a relationship, we've been talking about family on Sunday nights for a few weeks. You know we're going to talk about family. It's like, listen, if a husband and wife are committed and really love each other, they'll get through difficult times. Because love is more important than the situations of life. They'll work it out. Love. It's also, this love is also packaged in a person. I'm trying to hurry here. Jesus said, if any man come, the next two words, to me. See, it's about a relationship with Christ. That's where it begins. We're not just a disciple. We're a disciple of Christ, a person, God in the flesh, our Savior, the one who loves us. We're not coming to a movement. We have people sometimes will visit. I like that church because you guys are conservative. I'm glad you like that we're conservative. A new guy was here who comes Sunday mornings. He was talking about we just talked a little bit about respect on Sunday morning. Respect, you know, coming to church, have a little respect. That wasn't a big deal. He said, tell the people in the church, that's one of the reasons I come here. Because he likes the fact that there's a little respect for God here. Okay? Respect, love. But we're not coming to a movement. Well, politically, I'm conservative. I'm pretty sure you guys are. I'll come to that. Don't come for that reason. You know we're coming? Lift him up. It's not a club. Well, I like the people of the church. You know what? So do I. Most of them. We've been having everybody over our house. Tomorrow is Brother Ross's class. I'm going to bed early. But Brother Ross's class is coming tomorrow. I enjoy being with the people of the church. Always have. Always will. The saddest thing for me when someone chooses to leave our church is I really like them. It's like, well, I'm glad they left. I never am. And it has nothing to do with this, that, or the other. I just like them. Maybe I'm weird. I thought I heard my wife say amen. We're not coming to an opportunity. We're coming to Jesus Christ. That's the key thing. I hope we understand that. Whenever someone starts falling away from the Lord in their commitment to him, it always starts with the love. The love starts to wane. Okay? And so we need to make sure we protect that. Don't be a churchian, be a Christian. Have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Say, well, I don't want to do that. Then there are going to be problems. But I'm encouraging you, get to know him. Amen. Say, how do you get to know him? Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. It's good. You'll enjoy it. Say, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? Met Dwayne? I just talked to him. I didn't get on my knees and say, oh, thou Dwayne, how art thou? No. Just, hey, I talk. Jesus wants us to talk to him. He wants us to bring our needs before him. Number two, a disciple must labor. Verse 27, he said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, pretty tough, cannot be my disciple. We cannot separate love for the Lord and labor for the Lord. Okay? And I'm not talking about, you know, working all your job and being involved in 27 ministries, that type of stuff. But when he's talking here about taking up our cross, there's a physical labor and there's a emotional labor, to be honest with you. When we're taking up the cross of Christ, we're taking everything that comes with Christianity, whether it's good or bad. See, for us in America, we don't get that now, but it's coming someday. It's already started. If you're a business owner, watch out. Okay? We state things very specifically in our church constitution. We don't rent the building out to anybody. Any activity we have here, it's for church members, except for the city. Sometimes we'll let them. Because if it's not, someone can come and say you're discriminatory. It says right in our constitution, which is legal, you have to be a member of the church. It's protection. But listen, we're not facing anything like people are facing over in a Muslim country. They understand the cost. Labor. Sometimes we don't like to work. We don't like the difficulties. Two men were walking down the sidewalk, and they passed a sign in a window, and it said, no help wanted. And the guy looked at his buddy and said, you should apply. You'd be perfect for that job. We just don't want to do it. Paul was willing to labor and sacrifice. Look at 2 Corinthians there. He said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He's saying, I will give of my resources to help you. I will give of myself to help you. I will give emotionally to you. That's the hard part. And he says, and it doesn't matter if you come back with the same way towards me. What does it mean to labor? It means, letter A, denial of self. Denial of self. To take up his cross, we have to deny ourselves, because to be honest with you, it's not pleasant. To bear the cross means to bear the life that comes with following Jesus, whatever it be. Whatever it be. There will come burdens, yes, that are directly related to your love and service for Christ. Look at Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I died with him. By the way, that'll make it easy to live for him when you just die to self. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Where he's supposed to live through us. Now, the hard part about that is we take it back. We'll get up in the morning and maybe had a good day reading your Bible and praying, and Jesus is going to live through me, and then you get to work. And somebody does something ridiculous, and it's like, Christ, you stand back for a second. Let me handle this one. How many of you been there? So, yeah, Jesus, why don't you take a water break, and I will handle this situation, and then I will get forgiveness later, okay? We all struggle with that, but we got to let him live. It denies ourself. Some Christians are so consumed with themselves that they're embarrassed to let anybody know that they even know him. Charles Spurgeon said, I have now concentrated all my prayers into one, and that one prayer is this, that I might die to self and live wholly to him. By the way, easier said than done. It's like many of you have heard this, the story of the pig and a hen, a chicken, were walking together past the church. They saw a sign for a prayer breakfast. Ham and eggs being served. The chicken said, hey, that's nice. The pig said, uh-uh. For you, it's a donation. For me, it's a commitment. Jesus never sugarcoated the realities of living for him. Romans chapter 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. But it pays off. Martin Luther once remarked, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Amen. By the way, none of us have been asked to die for Christ. But there are, sometimes we tell stories, and we're not telling stories to shame us. You know, because we're not going to be martyred for Christ. But it's just to show you the commitment that others faced and that they made a decision. Many, many years ago in 1885, there was a young 18-year-old named Margaret Wilson from Scotland. She would not declare that King Charles was the head of the church. So they decided to kill her by drowning. She was a sweet young girl, and they were in the water, and they put her out there and tied her so that as the tide got bigger, higher and higher, it would slowly drown her. The crowd, seeing how young she was, didn't want her to. They kept saying, please, just say it, just say it. She's like, no, I can't do it. Finally, the water got up and starting to get into her mouth, and the time was coming. And the executioner untied her and held her up and said, come on. Not like that, but he said, I don't want you to die. Just say it. Just say he's the head of the church. She's like, I can't. I won't do it. And he tied her back up to the stake, and she drowned. You know, none of us are facing that, and I'm not saying that to shame us. I'm just saying there was a time that people understood what it really meant to trust Christ. I think and I'm not saying it's hard. There's no such thing as hard believism. But if you want to be a disciple, it might get tough. Also, it involves direction in life. He said, come after me. Jesus, many of Jesus' first disciples were fishermen. What did Jesus tell them? You see the verses there in Matthew. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know what they had to do? They had to leave everything they had known before. They had to leave all of that and follow Christ. Do you know, Jesus is telling all of us to go be fishers of men, but he's not telling all of us we have to give up our careers. Now, by the way, if he did say that to you, would you listen? Are there things on the table where you say, you know what, that's off limits? Satan always throws the, you know, well, you're going to be a missionary to Siberia. No, you're not. Siberia, there's no one living there except, well, Russians, and they're the ones in trouble, and they're not letting you go. Okay? Say, oh, I get to go to Greenland. You know, Greenland is colder than Iceland. You know, how many of you knew that? They called it Greenland because they're trying to fool people into thinking that it's not cold. Okay? So if you get called there, get a jacket. You're going to need it. But we always think of the ridiculous extreme. Listen, just follow him. Let him guide your life. Say, well, I'm in my job, and that's where God wants me. But each and every day, he'll guide you. He might guide you to somebody that needs Jesus Christ. Number three, a disciple must consider. You see the two stories he has there. Which of you intending to build a tower? And this man was going to build a tower, and he didn't sit. He needs to sit down and count the cost. He needs to look at how much is it going to cost to build this tower, and how much effort, time. Am I going to be able to do it? Because if he can't do it, then he needs to say, I'm not going to do it. Then there's another that's going to go to war. You know, he got a little hot-headed and said, we're going to war. And it's like, hey, buddy, you better realize something. He's got 20,000 guys. You got 10,000. Now, unless all your guys are, you know, mixed martial arts or something like that, you might want to consider what you're doing here. Because if he's more powerful than you, you might want to send him a present and say, hey, I was just kidding. Here's a fruit basket. Let's have some peace here. But what is he saying? Think it through before you do something. See, most Christians don't want to think it through. Hey, I trusted Jesus. Everything's going to be wonderful and hunky-dory for the rest of my life. It may not. Yeah. Now, if you have the tough times, the blessing is Jesus is there with you and get you through it. But we get discouraged sometimes because we didn't think that that was going to happen. And so we need to count the cost. There was two areas he mentioned there. In building. The guy was going to build something. He said, listen, by the way, I've known many, many people over the years. They make emotional decisions. Let me say this. When we have youth conference, teenagers, singles, think about the decision you're making. We used to go to North Valley many, many years ago. It's probably why I don't have hair. We would take 100 teenagers, and we didn't have a bus. And we all get in cars and make sure everybody gets there. And nobody died. No one got lost. You know, you come home and say, sorry, we lost two of your children. But good news is you still have four. And the big service and all the excitement. And sometimes they would preach. And some guys, they just make an emotional decision. They come down. And then 2 weeks later, you never see them again. If God's calling you to make a decision, make a decision. But make a decision with intelligence. I know what this means. By the way, let me just say this, and this is, you know, what's happening over in Asia, Southeast Asia, in our teams is exciting. Don't get fooled by the pictures, though. You think, wow, if we go over there, it's just revival, everything's wonderful, everything's easy, people are just dropping to their knees and trusting Christ. It's a lot of work. You see the prayer letter. And I'm not trying to discourage you to go, I'm telling you, God called you, you better go, but you better go prepared. Now the blessing and the fruit's wonderful. But don't think it through, man. I'm in. Well, what are you gonna do when you go there and you realize it's not like soul winning on the west side? When you're talking to them about trusting Christ and that person's thinking about it and saying no, because they realize if they trust Christ, they'll get kicked out of their home. So we need to think things through here in building everything we do. I hope that we'd be like Paul and get to the end of our life and say, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. And then also in battling. When you're a disciple, there's going to be fights. Not that's typically when you get married, but just kidding. There's struggles. And sometimes you just got to, you know, ladies, help the boys out. Don't sissify your little boy. Well, a little junior here needs you to pack a lunch for, if he's got a job, don't pack it, make him do his own thing. Say, deal with it. My mom wasn't real good toward when I got older. I had jobs like, if you want lunch, there's a refrigerator. Okay, that's good. Okay? But I'm just saying, it's tough. You have to fight the flesh. You got to fight the world. You got spiritual battles that Satan comes after you. Be careful, you start to give in. How does that happen? Little spiritual inconsistencies in your life. Oh, I used to do four to flourish every time, but now I miss every now and then. I know this, I won't stop coming to church if I don't start missing any services. But when we go on vacation, we go to church. We go to Sunday school. I'm not being critical here, I'm just explaining. It just seems like every church we went to, Sunday school was an hour and 15 minutes long, and the service is like 2 hours long. Like, hey, that's fine, you know. But we get there early. I don't come dragging into Sunday school after it starts. I don't know. I just come in like, maybe it's just I've been trained this way. I come there and stand in the hallway and greet people. Not, you know, hey, how are you doing? Where are you from? Hey, I'm from Long Beach. You're visiting? Yeah. Glad to be. What's your name? Listen, I got a class. You should come to my class if you're ever in Long. Just kidding. Told you before. I met some guy and he used to live in California. It was in Moses Lake going to church. A visitor, first time. I started talking to him. I'm like, this guy's from California. We totally connected. I'm like, this guy's coming to my class. I mean, we'll get on an airplane or something. But when you start missing church, maybe we were involved in ministry and we start backing off a little bit. Start missing soul winning. By the way, not many missed on Tuesday night. Thank you. That was encouraging. Amen. By the way, God's going to bless our efforts. That was exciting. I know sometimes work schedules during the week happen. I totally understand that. I'm talking about just sitting at home when you could have been here. That type of thing. Maybe here's another way we kind of back off. As children get older. See, little bunny foo-foo is pretty easy to handle when they're 2 years old. It's like, sit down and be quiet. Oh, boy, when they're a teenager, and this isn't, you know, I'll throw this out there. We'll get to child rearing in a couple weeks on Sunday night. Don't give in to your kids. Seriously? Sometimes people start giving in their children go sideways, and they leave the church. It's our fault. Oh, wow, okay. Sorry I wasn't at your, no, are your children perfect? No. But don't give it. Well, you know, I just can't control. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Here's how you control them. You're free to do anything you want. Let me get the suitcase and we'll pack your bag. And you go get your own house, pay your own rent. And then you can do whatever you want. But in this house, with me, you'll do what we want. Okay? And by the way, we're fine. The kids are great. They're not perfect. It is what it is. But see, we give into them a little bit too much. And I'll tell you why. Because as you get older, look, I got Emily's 8, so I still got her in the house and some others that are older. And I have grandchildren. And you start, and if you're careful, you get into grandparents mode. Like, you know, Emily, hey, can I get a tattoo? Yeah, go ahead, Emily. On my forehead? Yeah, that's fine. I don't want to fight you on it. You know, hey, just make sure it says, I love Dad. Okay? Just make sure, as long as it says that, I'm good. But we don't want to. We don't want to fight. Listen, with my grandkids, I don't give in to them. I don't want little demons at my house. Concerned about Ryan's kid. He might end up being like Ryan, and we're gonna have a problem. Just kidding. Love them. I'm not saying be mean. Love them. Love them. And then we start giving little personal compromises in our life. Maybe at work, you know. And it's tough at work. I know. If you're a Christian at work and they know it, they're gonna call you goody two shoes. Where I work, they used to call us the Hallelujahs. I get it, you know, all the nonsense. Choir boy, altar boy. I've heard it all. And number four, and we're done. A disciple must surrender. What is he? No, it's almost like Jesus gave all these little things here to explain it to us. And then the last verse, it's kind of like the all-inclusive, like just to cover all the bases we didn't get to today, he says, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Hey, that's just kind of like the inclusion clause. By the way, there's stuff here we didn't talk about, but whatever it is, if I say it and you learn it, if you're not willing to forsake it, you can't be my disciple. That's surrender. Letter A, surrender's comprehensive. So how do you spell it? I have no idea. Praise the Lord for spell check. Amen? I kind of just try to do it phonetically. If there's a line under it, I right-click, and it tells me the right word. And sometimes I'm not sure, so I have to right-click and there was a word I was typing today, and I'm like, that doesn't look like the right word. It corrected it for me. And I went, it was a wrong word, and I'm like, oh, wrong definition. I went to public school, and I didn't go very long, and English was a real struggle for me. But I am a lot better than I used to be. I can actually spell my name. But it's comprehensive. In other words, it involves everything. Hey, if Jesus, and by the way, we think Jesus is out to take everything from, no, he's not. But as you grow in your faith, you might learn little things. Hey, God expects this of me, or God would like me to do this. Hey, we should be open to say, I'm in. If Jesus says it, I'm in. That's all. We don't departmentalize our life. In other words, we have this box over here. This box is, Jesus, you can have this stuff here. It's usually the stuff you tried to throw away and no one wanted. And then you have this box over here that says, now, Jesus, this is my stuff. You can't touch this one. These are the things I'm going to hang on to. Okay? We ought to just come before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want in my life? Okay? He's out to take all the fun out of life. No, he's not. The greatest thing you'll ever do is be his disciple. The greatest thing. You say, oh, but you said there's hardships. Absolutely. But you know, let me say this. When you don't live for Christ, there's hardships too. And those hardships are the result of sin. And those hardships are worse. And you got to go through them yourself. I'm not in on that. I'd rather have a hardship where I'm like, man, this is tough, Lord. He's like, hey, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay. So it's comprehensive. And then there's a condition. He said, you can't be my disciple if you don't do these things. You see the verse there in Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Present your body a living sacrifice. By the way, I didn't give the quote by C.T. Studd, who had much money and gave it all away so he could be a missionary. He said, if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Wow. D.L. Moody said, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. Let me just say this and we're done. You can never come to Christ on your own terms. Now, for salvation, you can't do it for salvation. You just come before him and say, oh. But when it comes to serving him, it's like, what do you want? Well, I have these terms and conditions. That's like, you know what that is? That's spiritual prenuptials. Can I say something? If you're getting married and your future spouse says, hey, I want you to sign a prenuptial, grab a parachute and jump out the airplane quickly. Run as far away as you can. That's doomed for failure. No, I'm committed just in case, though. You know, I need this over here. We do that with Christ, though. In our mind, we have spiritual prenuptials. Yeah, I'll follow Christ, but, you know, over here, these are some things I'm going to keep for myself in case this doesn't go well. Let's be disciples for Christ. It's the greatest thing we can do. Let's pray.